mailing at her home at Lakeville, Connecticut on June 22, 1983. Now let's have a little bit about your life, Mary.
Okay, my parents were Louis Richard and Frances Wheeler Holmes. I was born on June 4, 1896 at the Hamlet Hill Farm, which my father rented from Alec Sedan. Dr. Salou delivered me. My mother had the measles and me all at once.
Something, huh?
We lived at Hamlet Hill until I was 7, when we moved to the Fairchild place in what was called Chapinville at that time. We moved around a lot, Falls Village, East Canaan, Salisbury, and then finally returned to Chapinville when I was 18. Its name had been changed to Taconic. You say go ahead.
Don't read it too fast.
My father had been killed in an accident while he was working as a teamster during those years away from Taconic. One of his jobs was to collect the cream from the farmers for the East Canaan Creamery. The creamery building still stands by Route 44, just south of Madhouse Farm. My three brothers, Emil, David, and Charlie, and I supported the family after his death. I went to work carrying the mail for the Taconic Post Office to the railroad station 4 times a day on my horse. Yeah. When I was 19, I bought a brand new Ford from Abe Martin for $500. $20 was a down payment, and I managed to pay for it in 1 year. By then, I was not only carrying mail, I was also carrying passengers. My jitney service was also from the Taconic Post Office to the railroad station in Taconic, and the fare was 25 cents. I would also take people coming in on the train to their various destinations at Twin Lakes, local inns and boarding houses. There was a time when I missed getting the mail on the train. I saw it pulling away from the station and decided to try to meet it in Canaan, but I missed it again in Canaan, so I raced it to East Canaan. I got the mail there just in time. I had to throw it on the train, and the next day the man on the mail car said, "Mary, Paul Revere has nothing on you."
Pretty good. That's right.
Then when I was very young, I attended the Chapinville School, which is now Melanie Barber's home. Bessie Argle, later Mrs. Charles Dan, was my teacher. Shopping was quite different in those days. Ed Williams and Harry Van Dusen stopped by once or twice a week and took orders for whatever our needs were. The big event was to go to Salisbury once a week. George Clark had a grocery store where the Connecticut Yankee is now. He also had a dry goods store where the bank is now. It was stocked with yard goods, clothing, shoes, corsets, and the like. A man named Dickinson owned the drugstore at that time.
Didn't Mr. Clark's store burn down one time? I remember just reading in the records and he got a big fire.
Now will I go on? We did have a store in Chapinville, which was run by Fred Gordon. In the building, that is May Pickard's home, this was a typical old-fashioned general store where folks would congregate around. A pot-bellied stove in the evening, checking out what might have slipped into the cracks between those very wide floorboards that are now worth a mint. I expect Charlie Fish, Jewel Rebelard, or my brother Charlie and Dave could tell us what they talked about, but they have carried their secrets with them. Mike Seitz has purchased the Gordon House, which was next door to the store. He invited me to see what he is doing to it. It was very exciting to see how beautifully he is restoring it. The house must be 200 years old. But girls today start dating much younger than I was allowed to. My brothers used to escort me to dances and made very sure that I came home with him. There was usually a dance somewhere every week. Sometimes they were held in people's houses or over Robert's store in Lakeville. Emil married my friend. Murray Tiffany.
Emily.
Will I start from the beginning? From here? Mm-hmm. Emil married my friend Marie Tiffany, a very beautiful city girl who used to pose for Ellen Emmett Rand.
Lois Martin Whitbeck also posed for Mrs. Rand. Do you remember that? I know that her daughter has one of the pictures and Lois is the model.
Yes. Yes. She and I were best friends. We used to swim down to Scoville's, by Scoville's boathouse. One day we heard some snickering in the bushes while we were swimming. I suppose we were overheard talking about the boys. When we came out, we found out that the audience had been Paul Revillard and Bert Kelsey. We left, but we came back and hid their clothes.
Paul would like you to have to say that. He'll have to read this.
We sometimes used to go to the movies that were shown in the hall over Robert's store. They were silent films, and another of my friends, Margaret Spur, played the piano for the background. We were as faithful to the Perils of Pauline as most people are to Dallas.
Yeah, Perils of Pauline, I remember those.
It seems to me that the old stone house in Taconic has become some sort of historical spot. When I was a young girl, it was also another place to go to dances or to movies. That's where I met Frank Schmerling. We were married in the Episcopal Parsonage in Salisbury on March 2nd, 1921. We went to live with his parents on Wishbone Farm. My daughter Marjorie was born on October 8, 1923. My husband and father-in-law were dairy farmers back then in winter. The snow was so deep, the horses pulled the sled loaded with cans full of milk, walking on top of the snow. After the Depression, it became necessary to put our heads together and come up with a way to earn more money. Dave Martin had already discovered that a few of the local men would hire out to my husband as farmhands. They would spend the winter, and come spring planting or haying time, they would leave. Yes, Abe thought it would be better if I took care of the folks dependent on town assistance, and in this way get paid for my efforts. This gave me the idea of turning our farm into a summer vacation spot for city folks. It was the fad then to spend a couple of weeks on a farm. We had a powwow and put the idea in motion. Go ahead. Grandma Schmeling made pies, pickles, jams, and preserves. Grandpa planted the garden and took care of the fruit trees. And with Frank, they raised the beef, pork, chickens, and eggs that furnished three large meals a day to what was always a full house. They also grew enough for Grandma, and it was filled, Grandma and I, to fill the cellar with jars and barrels of food for the coming winter. It was my job to take care of the house and do the cooking. The rate in those days was $14 a week.
Well, today it'd be about 600.
Yes, a day.
Then they wouldn't get all those goodies either.
Entertaining in those days for the guests and the family and the local people was the Stewart Theater in Lakeville, boating and bathing at the O'Hara Shore on Twin Lakes, We had badminton and croquet and horseshoes. The general store in Taconic was then owned by the O'Neills and was located across from the school. The summer people used to love to walk that mile to the store, exercise, souvenirs, and their mail. O'Neills also had a dance floor with a Nickelodeon and some pinball machines that made it a very popular spot. I guess it doesn't take a talk. One doesn't talk about Taconic without mentioning the Scoville family. A lot of Taconic was there, worked, and thrived because of those two brothers. Many people in Taconic were employed to maintain the two mansions and estate buildings, as well as the vast gardens and grounds. Grassland Farm, which was at that time was run by Edward G. Woodward for the Scovilles, was another of their holdings that meant security for a good many farm workers. They cared about the folks in that village. At Christmas, every year, Mrs. Herbert Scoville gave a Christmas party for all of the children of the town. Christmas goodies and gifts included. I have always felt badly that the church in Taconic had to be torn down. It seems to me that every place deserves one place of worship. But the popularity of the automobile took people to Salisbury and Lakeville to church, just as the school is no longer there. I don't know if there is any way for the young folks to get to Diving Rock at the end of the canal anymore. The train doesn't go to Taconic anymore. That's sad.
Mary, I know you've always been interested in pianos. Now tell me how you got started. Was it up at the Wishbone Farm or in Lakeville?
At the Wishbone Farm. I had two pianos. And I went to an auction and bought another one. And everybody said, Mary, what are you going to do with all those pianos? I said, well, I'm going to have music wherever I go.
Fine.
Not realizing what I was going to do with them.
Good. That's great. And did you give lessons ever?
No.
You tuned them?
Got a hold of a piano tuner and took them all apart and learned how to recondition them.
And then did you help other people fix their pianos up there too?
Oh, I would buy every piano that I could find that I could afford and recondition it and sell it.
That's good.
Until I think I must have altogether done 150 pianos.
Heaven's sakes. Now I understand.
I wish I had kept track of them.
Yeah, but you don't know. I understand.
As Dr. Peterson said to me, I wish I had kept track of all the babies I had delivered.
I know. 3,000 of them weren't there in that book.
Yeah.
Right. Now I understand there were some pretty famous people came up to your Wishbone Farm.
Oh yes. One day this man came to the door and he was looking for a place to stay. And as he looked in the living room, I had two pianos sitting in there. Couldn't believe his eyes. And he happened to be a composer. And so he stayed all summer.
What was his name?
Alexander Laszlo.
Wow.
So.
Anybody else famous?
Phil Shai was there for a week.
Great.
And he made those pianos.
And then when did you come to Lakeville? About how many years ago?
Oh, yes, it wasn't long after that. In 45.
You came to this house
came
here?
To this house here, yes. And I had lots of room to store pianos in this big garage. So, one time I had a dozen pianos in.
I know
so I'd go from one to the other until I got one perfect.
That's great. And this is the old Halliwell estate, was it?
Yes.
And the house is gone. It was on the corner. Well, I remember, you know, there used to be stone wall, didn't there?
Oh, yes.
That's great. You got it all fixed up beautiful now.
Yes, we could.
Are you still fixing pianos?
I see you fell for your hobby.
You bought a new piano.
I just bought a new Steinway.
Yeah, I know. I think it's wonderful.
Small Steinway grand now.
Yes,
I want to sell
that's great.
And I also had a grand piano.
Yeah, I know. So now you got two again.
Yeah.
So, that's great.
But it'll sell.
Sure it will.